It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. This week, public radio stations across the nation are putting a spotlight on the effects of globalization. Living on Earth's contribution to Think Global takes us to one of the smallest nations in Asia. Bhutan sits in the rugged Himalayan mountain range between China and India, and its physical isolation has allowed it to endure as a Buddhist kingdom, governed as much by Buddhist philosophy as by law. Indeed, as this nation of less than 1 million people began to emerge on the world stage, the King of Bhutan proclaimed a goal of gross national happiness, rather than aiming at merely increasing the financial measure of gross national product. According to the king, one of the ways to encourage happiness is to allow television and the internet into his remote nation, and the changes underway are being closely watched. As part of the Worlds of Difference documentary series on global cultural change, Karen Michelle produced our report called The Buddha is One and Zeros.
Yeah, I was born here in this house. This is a four-story.
Pema Tsering was my guide to Bhutan. A businessman in his mid-40s, he'd been recommended by friends. Pema wasn't really a guide, but he seemed to know everyone and at least something about everything. I was told often that he was considered the Bhutanese Patrick Swayze. He's a good dancer, and in profile you could see the resemblance in the sculptured cheekbones and the set of the jaw. But this Patrick Swayze wears a dark robe-like garment, the go, traditionally worn by Bhutanese men. Now Pema lives in the city, though he clearly remembers the home of his childhood in the village of Nimju.
Drier meats and everything, and then hardly any vehicles, only a couple of trucks and few jeeps. So for us, like when we used to see a vehicle coming from far away, we used to get so scared that as if a monster is coming towards us, and we used to jump off the road, look for a bush, hide behind the bush, and that is how it was. Now, after all these years, when I'm back, it has developed like hell.
The roads don't yet reach all of the country, nor does electricity, though it's come to Nimju.
Everybody has light. In fact, you can see in the kitchen also now with gas stove, then electrical equipments like a water boiler, rice cooker, and everything you see. Those just didn't even know what these things were for.
And then, as we were talking, the lights went out.
And what just happened?
Electricity failure. But you can see some lights on the other side. So must be this phase must have gone.
No big deal to Pema as we went back to using the kerosene lamps of his youth. The electricity, delivered mainly by hydropower, is somewhat erratic, both in the city and here in the village. Pema's teenage cousin, Deki Wangmo, lives in this house when she's on break from school in the city of Thimphu. We stand at the entrance to the Chosum, the prayer room that's in every Bhutanese home. There are paintings of the Buddha in various forms, draped with white prayer shawls, brass bowls of water, some oranges, sticks of incense. A calico cat drinks water from the offerings. Deki says that's good luck. She wears the traditional women's dress, the kira. The garment is in earth-toned stripes and reaches to her ankles. Deki wears a white blouse underneath and a fuchsia-colored jacket over it.
Everything is changing, especially those who are staying in the town. They always wear pants and all. And those who are wearing kos and kiras, they are also encouraged to wear pants.
Teenagers everywhere like to be trendy, even in the Buddhist kingdom of Bhutan. Deki thinks the desire to dress like the West is a potential threat to life as her elder cousin Pema knew it.
I'm not really sure, but 50%, I think Bhutan is definitely going to lose culture. If you lose our culture, then I don't think they will give much importance to our culture and all. Then after that, all will be like foreigners only, all the Bhutanese peoples. Then after that, I think somebody might come and rule our country.
She means China or India, just as India took over Sikkim and China absorbed Tibet. She hopes the king will be strong in resisting their overtures.
Okay, I'll sing one song. It's in praise of our king in those olden days.
In the the outdoor market in Paro, vendors sell produce, haunches of dried yak meat, large posters of the king, homemade chili powder, and rubber flip-flops. Everyone wears either a kira or a go, except for the many monks in their maroon robes. A monk sits at the entrance to the market, chanting. Everyone who passes gives him at least some change. Generosity is expected. It's part of the Buddhist way.
My office is not only our office, it's a small temple. So I'm surrounded with all the deities. I draw spiritual inspiration from them.
Rinchen Kandu lives in the city of Thimphu, a couple of hours moderately terrifying drive from Paro. Rinchen Kandu's business card reads, Rich and Can Do. It's likely the latter part is more accurate. Rinchen composes music for the fledgling Bhutanese film industry, works on a Dzongkha English dictionary, and is father to a five-year-old allegedly reincarnated lama, a tiku.
Buddhism in our language is called Nangba. Nangba means self-introspection. You have to look inside yourself. And to look inside yourself, you have to have the third eye, of course. The two eyes are always looking outward. We have to employ the third eye within ourselves and see what is best, and then glean the best and use it, try to adjust to our own situation. That's what we are trying to do. And that's also the policy of the Royal Government of Bhutan.
On July 2, 1999, in a speech as part of his Silver Jubilee celebration, the king made a surprise announcement. It came near the end of his remarks and received the only applause of the event.
Television, the internet, darile, kotsuknani degi.
The king said that from that moment on, television and the internet would be allowed in the country of 700,000 or so people, most of them rural, most of them farmers, many of them without the electricity necessary to use these innovations. Some Bhutanese already had illegal satellite dishes to receive TV from India, hidden under the eaves of the roof of their homes. As I learned from one of Pema Tsering's friends at Benny's Bar in Thimphu, the king's announcement was welcome, but not seen as a big, big deal by most Bhutanese.
We had video movies before TV. So when TV came in, it wasn't like, wow, you know, great, or we've never seen a TV.
It's a history channel. It's a 10 sports channel.
Rinzi Dorji was ecstatic about the king's announcement. Now he's one of the country's cable operators, providing more than 40 channels to his subscribers.
Bhutanese people as such are very influenced by our religion. We try to be in, not in the extreme, we believe in kind of in a middle path. So I think Buddhist people by nature and by our culture, we know how to be responsible. We know what to watch. And I think television as such has brought happiness to most of our people, and this is what I'm doing, bring happiness.
Who is the world heavyweight champion, but Triple H is not. Oh, God. I understand that because Triple H...
There was some unhappiness. Professional wrestling was the culprit.
And I had several complaints from the parents saying that the elder brother is trying to imitate the actions that they saw on the wrestling to his younger brother, and then he was having problems. And he told me to stop airing such kind of programs. But then as a provider, I have to see the interests of all my clients.
Clients who hardly ever see each other in person anymore.
Before, I used to know almost all the people in Thimphu. Now, because of television and all this and your own work, hardly we meet each other. In the early days, we used to all, you know, go around, meet, and in the town, we used to see each other. But it's now less frequent. Socializing is less frequent.
Pema Tsering's wife, Tsering, and her older sister, Yangtze, get together at his house just about every afternoon. There are two TVs in the home, one for the adults, the other for the kids.
My younger one likes to watch cartoons, and then my Sangyeom likes to watch MTV, V channel, and what's that one? All the music channels, yeah.
And what do you like to watch?
I watch Bold and Beautiful. I'm addicted to that serial.
So is Tsering's big sister, who sits in bed watching TV.
Basically, everybody's doing that.
Oh, yeah, 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 they are. Because we are just sitting around doing nothing. No exercise. Sitting, watching TV, eating, front of the TV. As a family, like, we hardly talk to each other. No talking because we have no time to talk. We are busy watching our TV.
That's really true. That's what my sister just said.
People don't have time for their children. Half the time they don't know where the kids are because they're, you know, glued to the TV.
Another hour at 9 meters.
The tendency for a lot of people is to think that, oh, this must be really bad.
Shukshan Pakdorji was recently commissioned to assess the impact of media in Bhutan. The Ministry of Information and Communications wanted to know, how can Bhutan's media contribute to gross national happiness?
I found out most Bhutanese are very, very open to new influences, and they're very confident that they'll be able to pick the good from the bad. And that seems to be a very common, a shared feeling among many Bhutanese, and they're confident that, no, our children will, you know, learn so much. They see the positive rather than negative.
English improves by watching TV, say the parents, who must weigh language skills with the product lust promoted by commercials. I met a 20-year-old who was so taken by the first ad she ever saw on TV, for face cream, that now she wants to open Bhutan's first advertising agency. Her younger brother, on the other hand, was just taken with TV itself, becoming, in his inertia, as obese as any fast-food-chopping American adolescent. Peck's study confirmed that parents were right, that their children spent too much time in front of the tube, and also right that there are beneficial aspects to exposure to the global village. The study also stresses the need to include images of the local villages as well.
I think the main issue in terms of the media today in Bhutan is content. How do we create enough content to balance the inflow of media, whether it's images or just information?
And with that, we come to the end of the morning program of the BBS. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sonam Faldon, and I'll be back in the afternoon at 2 p.m. with the afternoon English service. So join me then.
My name is Mingbo. I'm Managing Director of Bhutan Broadcasting Service here in Thimphu.
Follow on Thimphu Bhutan, or you can even log on to our website at bbs.com.
We have 4 hours of live broadcast and 4 hours of rebroadcast the following morning. That is television. And, of course, radio in 4 different languages, 2 regional languages, 1 national language, and 1 in English.
15 hours a day, nearly a fourth of it the soundtrack taken from BBS TV. Though much of BBS TV isn't visually sophisticated or stimulating, a man or men in somber go sitting behind a table being serious. The real drama is in the large number of public service announcements, many of them for AIDS, including one counseling that HIV isn't transmitted from toilet seats. With a national literacy rate at just over 50%, BBS Managing Director Mingbo sees a need for the Bhutanese Broadcasting Service to provide both education and entertainment.
Entertainment programs, songs and dances on the TV programs. And right now we have so many channels. Some of the channels, they can't make head and tail of it.
So the solution is to provide boarding facilities to the children.
The radio and TV staffs of BBS are the same, a convergence of necessity. And there aren't enough resources, human or financial, to increase the amount or the sophistication of local programming. BBS's star producer studied at UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism. Most Bhutanese men wear their hair short. Sewang Dendup's locks curl down his neck.
The TV is definitely emerging as a medium, but not surprisingly, because the art of visual storytelling has always been there. If you go to our temples, it's replete with paintings, right? If you go to Bhutanese houses, you see all these traditional paintings that depicts the life of the Buddha. So, you know, I mean, how is television different?
Bhutan has mobile phone service and an internet provider, too. And so there are internet cafes without cafe or generally internet connection, however many computers there are. It seemed video gaming was more profitable in a country with at most 10% computer literacy. 2% may be closer to the truth. A low-cost desktop computer costs as much as a year's average salary in Bhutan. Pema has a computer at home. His cousin Deki was eager to learn how to use one.
Computer, I don't know much, but television, I think if you watch these informative channels, I don't think it's it's going to lose our culture, because it gives us the ideas, and it also makes us aware of the things which are happening in outside world. But this internet, I don't know much about it.
Well, she's learned. Recently, I got an email from Deki in the form of a Mother's Day card from an online service. So far as I know, there's no greeting card industry, nor Mother's Day in Bhutan. Now she's learned that on the internet, the store is always open. In a country where credit cards are even newer than television, can a local Bhutanese shopping channel be far behind? Who knows? Maybe that's another way to achieve gross national happiness. For Living on Earth, I'm Karen Michelle in Bhutan.
Our story, The Buddha is One and Zeros, was produced as part of Worlds of Difference, a project of Homelands Production and made possible in part with funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. For more information, visit our website, livingonearth.org. Coming up on Living on Earth, people, and lots of them. And for the first time in history, more of them live in cities than in rural areas. So this year, the United Nations World Environment Day will focus on new challenges facing urban areas. The UN event has been held every year since 1974, but this is the first time it will take place in the United States. In 2 weeks, Living on Earth goes to San Francisco, the site of World Environment Day, and looks at where the Golden Gate City is eco-friendly and where it has room for improvement. How Green is My City, coming next month on Living on Earth.